While you were thinking about starting a business, Rachel started a newsletter for a city she doesn't even live in yet, and Mike launched a local advertising business just 4 days after our podcast came out. All right, John, you got to see this. You remember Rachel a few weeks ago? She came on here, talked about the community cards. So she reached out like the day after the show to me, and she was like, hey, on that show, you mentioned doing a local newsletter. You mentioned doing those bar ads. Where can I go listen to that podcast? And I said, oh, it's not, that one's not out yet. She's like, well, ping me when it comes out. So a week later it came out, I pinged her. She must have listened the moment I pinged her, because she pinged me back an hour later and she's like, that's fucking awesome. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Good for you. Like, you know, I didn't really think anything of it, if I'm honest with you. But literally one day later, I see this post on Facebook. So I'm friends with her on Facebook. I'm scrolling my feed and I see this post from I Love Knoxville. That just says, hey, Knoxville, I'm Rachel. I just moved here and this city has already blown me away. The people, the food, the energy. I get why y'all love it here so much. I wanted a way for all of us to stay connected to everything going on. So I created the Knoxville Report, a free weekly newsletter made for this community, local events, best eats, small business spotlights, and anything else that feels relevant. Let me know if you'd like to stay connected and I can share the link. What's a spot I absolutely have to try? I'm all ears. There's already 108 likes on this when I took the screenshot, 172 comments, many people in the comments saying, wow, that's amazing. You have to try here. This place rocks. Welcome to the neighborhood. You have to eat here. Oh my goodness, I'm the owner of this business. How do I get sponsored? You know, how can I sponsor your newsletter? How can I get featured in there? How can I get you to come to my place and try my food? I was blown away, one, by how fast she took action, and number two, by the response immediately for a town she doesn't even live in, John. Like, at first, I didn't realize they were going to move there. I thought she was just doing this because she found a town. No, they're going to move there in a few months, but she's already setting up this stuff. Holy shit. I mean, my first words are holy shit.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's the fastest I've seen someone take action on something we mentioned in a podcast. But like, and not only, you know, usually it's like, oh, you could do this thing in your business and that thing in your business, but this is literally like starting a business, essentially, you know, from scratch, and getting great interaction on it straight away too, it looks like. So shout out to Rachel, man. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and all of you listening, go find the Knoxville Report and sign up. Go watch what she's doing. Go see what the email looks like. You know, I think she just signed up for Beehive. I wish we had an affiliate link to mention right here, but she just went and signed up for Beehive and got it started. And like, holy shit, man. Like, this is the prime example of you could just do shit. The bars really is this low.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's so good. We'll have to get her back on and see how that goes in the not too distant future and actually get her to walk us through it. For sure.
Yeah, I imagine she's listening to this. So, Rachel, you are absolutely invited back on. I want to know how this works. I want to know exactly how long you're doing this before you actually move there. You know, I want to know, like, I don't know. I want to know all the things. Like, what most people, I think, would wait until they move to start this, right? And yeah. So, like, I want to hear her thinking of, often there's, you know, the thoughts in your head that tell you why you can't do something. Does she even have those thoughts? One, and then, like, if they came up, you know, how does she just tell them to shut the hell up and move on to the next thing?
Well, that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I mean, I think a lot of people will listen to the episodes where we talk about some of these ideas and some of these things, and that was our three ways to make money in your town nobody talks about. We'll link it up here somewhere. You should definitely go and check that out if you're interested in the idea that we're actually talking about here, because we shared the idea on that episode. Most people will listen to that and be like, oh, have a million reasons in their head why they can't go and do it today. Do you know what I mean? Even though we're saying somebody could literally go and do this today, most people will be like inside their head immediately with, oh, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. I can't do it because I don't live there yet. Could have come up for Rachel in this case. And obviously, maybe it did and she pushed that to one side, or maybe it just didn't come up. We'll have to ask Rachel about that. But like, this is just a great example of, you know, if you just get out and do things, you know, if you hear an idea and you think that sounds interesting, I think I could do that. Just get out and do it. It usually always ends up working out nowhere near as bad as the voices in your head tell you it might. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, even if Rachel had gone and done this and started just getting crickets from day one, like, what would have been the harm? You would have just gone on with your life and been like, ah, okay, that didn't work out. You know, who cares, sort of thing. But she did it and it looks like it's already going somewhere, which is great.
What's worse is what's likely going to happen to her. It happens a lot in businesses. We've seen it on this podcast. You just shoot out of the gates and you're like, oh, this is going to be so easy. This is the greatest thing ever. And then you kind of, you know, you check back to reality for a little bit and you're kind of in this valley where, oh, the doubt starts creeping back in and you're like, oh, do I, you know, I'm not growing. Do I really want to do this? But all the signs are there. If you really dig deep into the metrics, all the signs are there. You should keep going. I would assume she's going to, you know, springboard out of the gates and then find a little bit of a lull, and then it'll, you know, slowly turn back into a climb that just grows steadily over time. And so, you know, like you said, sometimes nothing happens and you just, who cares? And then other times you get this awesome start and you have to like work through the lull. So her episode, we'll put both of them in the, so there's the, she started a postcard ad business. She was on here talking about that. We talked about three ways to make money in your town. We'll put both of those in the description. Both awesome episodes if you want to check those out. And speaking of Rachel's playbook, wait till you see what one of our members did with it, John. So a couple of weeks ago, this was posted April 9th in our community. A guy in our Circle community named Mike, he just spun this thing up right after listening to the episode with Rachel. So quick plug, Circle is our paid community. That's where you can come hang out with John, myself, Mike, Rachel, anyone else you want to hang out with. Come talk about the shows that we do or the stuff that you're doing on the side. You can find a link to that in the show notes. Is it lowbar.com/join, John? Lowbarpod?
Lowbarpod.com/join. Or just go to lowbarpod.com and you'll see a button in the top of the website, and throughout the website you can just click the button and go and join. Yep.
Yeah, it's $9 a month, so literally no excuse to come hang out and just you know, talk shit with us, talk business with us. So Mike posted his website in our group 4 days after our podcast came out. He posted this website saying, hey, I'm gonna do this stuff in London, which unbelievable. One, that you can spin up stuff like this in that short period of time that looks this good, but you know, to take action off a podcast, like to have Rachel do this and to have Mike do this. Honestly, that got me a little fired up. We're kind of in that lull of like, okay, we're 35 episodes in. We had a huge boost. We kind of came down. We're kind of coming back up. And this gave me energy. Like typing this episode out, thinking about what Rachel did, thinking about what Mike did, that gave me energy personally.
Well, this is exactly the reason, like when you and I talked about starting this podcast, this was like exactly one of the things, at least, that we wanted to see happen was like, we'll find some cool, you know, ideas that demonstrate how easy, or not how easy, but how simple it is sometimes to start a business. And share those with people, and hopefully some people will take that and actually go and do something with it, and discover new things and try new things and build themselves new businesses and that sort of thing. And you know, here's some great examples of that actually happening. So shout out to Mike once again for just grabbing an idea, going and doing it. It's a good looking website, I gotta say. I mean, I'd love to know how the back end and all of that works on it. So shout out to Mike. Mike, if you wanna, I'd love to hear what you used to build that website. You can post it in our community, maybe, or maybe I'll message you in our community there, and because I'd just love to know how you actually build it, what you used to build that website, put it together so quickly, if there's a back end to it and all that sort of thing. But I really hope Mike goes and sends out some postcards there, gets some businesses on board and sends some out. Once again, I'd love to hear what comes of that. And once again, in London too, like we talked about. We had Rachel on to talk about the postcard stuff, which is what Mike's doing here. And we talked about it from a US perspective, using the US Postal Service and their thing around doing these postcards, which is kind of like a ready-made service, which doesn't necessarily exist in every country in the same way. And so Mike's actually in a completely different country where maybe he's finding his own way of how to do this there in London. Maybe they have a different version of the same service there. I don't know. I'd love to hear about that as well. But once again, just like jumping over a little hurdle there, that's a hurdle that most people in another country might think, oh, well, they were talking about it in the US, but I'm in the UK, or I'm in Australia, or I'm wherever. Surely I can't do the same thing. And the answer is that that's not necessarily true. There is always a way. You just got to have a quick look around and work it out, and you can still build something. So I love it.
Well, take it all with a grain of salt, right? Like the site went up on April 9th when he posted about it. It's been 2 to 3 weeks. Well, I don't know if he's actually doing anything. No. Mike, post some more in Circle. We have no idea. I assume those case studies are fake. Some of them are saying they've been trying it for 3 months, which whatever. You know, I faked some reviews back in my day. You kind of got to fake it to make it a little bit in the beginning. But that's not the point. Like he fucking did it. Like it's a slick landing page. The pricing is clear. And he took an idea, he productized it, and he put it into the world like in a week. That blew me away. I don't know. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rachel, for giving me some energy on this podcast. Because, you know, sometimes you can think you're just talking to no one. And we do have our community. We have people reach out. But like, to see both of you reach out and then do something, holy shit, that blew me away.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, it's the first step. It's taking that first step. And absolutely, like I said, I hope Mike does something with it. I'd love to, like, even if it doesn't really work out very well. Like, I mean, you know, that's still, I'd love to go through that sometime and kind of pull it apart and, you know, see why or what happened. That'd be really cool for sure. I think it's great.
You know who reached out after that episode? My brother, of course. He was like, you were right. This is the one.
Gosh.
But he said, I don't know about that Canva stuff. I don't know about design. I was like, that's the easiest part. And he's like, no way. Talking to the businesses is way easier. And I was like, maybe there's something here where we can find a little synergy.
Come on, Josh. You got to do something, buddy.
I think it's time. I think it's time we do this one.
This is it, Josh. This is it.
You got to be up for filming it, Josh, if you're listening. Like, I'm willing to film some of this stuff and do it out there because I think it could be cool, and I don't think it would be super difficult.
Hey, John here. I just wanted to take a quick moment to let you know about the Low Bar Pod membership. If you've been loving the show and you'd like to come out with, hang out with myself, Ben, and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals, then the Low Bar Pod membership is for you. It's just $9 a month or $7 a month if you take the annual option, and here's what you're going to get. One, you can join our private community platform where all of our members hang out, where myself and Ben hang out. We chat with each other. We share all sorts of stuff, ideas, ask questions, get feedback. So you get access to that community. You get access to one live Ask Me Anything session each month of the year with myself and Ben. So we get on a call. It's hosted video call. It's live. You can ask questions. You can pre-submit questions and have them answered by us. Anything to do with business. And you get access to the recording and the transcripts of every Ask Me Anything session. You get direct chat access to myself and Ben in the community. So anytime you want to run an idea past us, have us check something, have us look at your business, whatever it might be, you can chat with us in there. You get direct and exclusive access to all of the Low Bar Pod challenges that we're either running, we have run, or we're going to run in the future. So our membership platform has a space in there for all of our challenges. For example, a 75 hard business challenge that we've talked on the podcast recently, that happens inside our membership, not outside of our membership. You get access to all of the podcast and Ask Me Anything transcripts for every episode. We post those within our membership area. So if you're somebody that wants to read what we talk about rather than watch videos or listen in, you can do that. And then finally, every Monday, we send out our Three Moves Monday newsletter. We only send this to our members. And in that newsletter every week, you get three business ideas or strategies that you could implement into either starting a new business or growing an existing business. So it's just $9 a month. You can cancel at any time. And all you need to do to get in instantly is head to lowbarpod.com/join. And you'll find a link to that below.
All right. So on that episode with Rachel, we were like, how does this scale? We were trying to figure out how to scale. We came up with some ideas of, you know, maybe themed postcards, things like that. And then this showed up in my house. It's called Suburban Living. And I opened the first page and I looked at it, John. Look at this. This literally looks just like the postcard she showed us. And it is just a magazine of a bunch of businesses. There is nothing in here but ads.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just ads. I'm assuming this is what Valpak looks like too, but this is local to me. And, I was kind of blown away. As soon as this showed up, I was like, oh, this is scale, right? And actually, they have a website called Suburban Living Advertising. Let's check it out quick. So this is their site. They say they have 20 mailing zones, 38,000 homes per zone, and they reach 750,000 homes. So on that show, we were talking, you know, she was serving a town of like 30 or 40, if I remember right, 1,000. I'm in a town of roughly 20,000. I think, you know, there's a few other communities around here that might push that up to 50. But this is totally scaled up, right? This is the entire Twin Cities metro area pushing into Wisconsin. These are the people. If you want to get an ad here, this kind of blew me away.
Hmm.
How do we find the owner of this so we can say, come on the pod and tell us the economics of this?
Yeah, for sure.
So they have this other site too. They have the digital side of it, mn.coupons, which great domain, by the way. I'm pretty sure, you know, that's obviously part of the offer, right? We'll put you in the mailer and we'll put you on mn.coupons. This, to me, is the exact thing we were trying to figure out that day of how do you scale this up? And we have to find we have to have this person on.
I think so. Yeah, if we can get him. Yeah, so what are they doing? 20 mailing zones across. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah,
imagine that's not where you start, right? Like you're going to start just like Rachel with one postcard in one small area. But, you know, this is the scaled up version, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to start with one zone. It doesn't matter what business you're in. I think there's just a massive thing to doing, particularly if you're doing business for the first time. Like if you're like Rachel and you've got a bit of experience and you're going to something new, you can probably go a bit faster, right? But when you're doing something for the first time, it's not just like doing the thing. It's also clearing out your mental junk around doing the thing, right? And so the smaller you make the thing in the start, which allows you to get a win, like it allows you to get your foot in the door, right? So like, you just got to try and sell something. So like one postcard, get however many businesses fit on the postcard, right? Like 5, 6, 7, like however many it is. I can't remember how many it is. But like, just get them on, send it out once, get the payments from those. And I promise you, once you've done it once, like your mindset just shifts. You're like, oh, wow, I can actually do this. That wasn't that hard. It wasn't as hard as I thought it might be. The businesses I dealt with were actually kind of really nice about it. You know, another month or so later, you're probably going to hear, oh, we had some customers contact us off that postcard. That was really great. You'll be like, yep, this is repeatable, because then you can send out your second postcard. Now you know it's repeatable. And at that point, the thought of going, okay, can I scale this up and do 5 zones or, you know, more? Or can I add another service alongside it? Like, should I go and build like a digital coupon site like we saw there with MN Coupons, which I think is a great idea as well, by the way. You know, or can I turn it into more of a magazine type thing, or do a magazine alongside the postcards? You know, that those bigger things, which at day one sound kind of more daunting, like because there's a lot of pieces there. You know, getting a magazine printed is going to be harder than getting a postcard printed. Putting it together is going to be more challenging. So it doesn't make sense to start with that. Just find the smallest thing that you can do that's actually where you can get some real wins, and then just scale up from there. Like, I agree, though, like, you know, this, you know, the numbers here, 20 mailing zones, they're hitting 38,000 homes, seven, like 750,000 homes reached every month. I mean, that's massive, right? It's really cool too, that they're able to do that, and then all of the things they've got running off the back of that. But you don't need to start there. I think a lot of people trip themselves up by thinking when you start a business, you go from zero to big, and you just don't. Like, one, it doesn't happen really, and two, it kind of shouldn't happen. Like, I think people should go through some smaller stuff first, because it makes the whole process more sustainable.
Most nights, my brain won't shut off. I'm lying there chasing new ideas, diving down rabbit holes, thinking through business problems, all of it. I can't turn it off, and honestly, I don't even want to. I fucking love this stuff. But I do need solid sleep if I'm going to show up as the best version of myself for my wife, for my kids, for my business partners, and for me. So every night, I take Kill Switch from Switch Supplements. I've been taking it for years. I take a scoop, I watch a quick YouTube video, and within a half an hour, I'm out. It works every single time. My wife takes it. My employee takes it. We even gave it out at a couple of our live events, and everyone loved it. If you're the same way, you can't turn it off, but you still want to win big the next day, go to switchsupplements.com/lowbar and use the code lowbar to get $10 off your first order. That's switchsupplements.com/lowbar and use the code lowbar. Sleep like you're dead. I can hear someone saying, Josh, I'm talking to you, buddy, that, oh, someone's already doing it. It won't work for me. There's already someone here, right? And like, I kind of want to bust that right away. I assume that's an objection that's coming up. Somebody's doing this in my area. I can't do it. Yes, you absolutely can. I'm positive that you can. So someone I could compete with this. But a few other things came up for me while you were saying that. One was like, get your first win. And so I often think back to our first sale. I just built a new business, waiting on our first sale. I'm anticipating that moment already because it is so joyful. I can picture a moment getting my first sale on a business. We're driving across Wisconsin to go to a Wisconsin Timber Rattlers baseball game with my brother and Ben and our friend Bo. I get our first sale in the middle of the drive, and I turn on WW and Hardwell and Little John song. I don't even know the name of it. It's pretty insane. Cranked it up, and I'm just, yeah. Like, you know, that was like my eighth business. And I still remember that first sale. And so you're saying stack some wins out of the gates, right? Like, if you can just go do this, do one postcard, get a couple wins, maybe make $1,000. A lot of people would say, only $1,000? Get the fuck out of here. You just made $1,000. It'll be the greatest feeling in your life. And like, stacking those little wins early on are what give you the momentum to turn it into something scaled up like this.
Yeah, and starting with something small as well, it enables you to do it on the side of what you've already got going on in your life, right? If you start with the goal that I have to launch something really big from day one, like, that takes a lot of time, effort, focus. It's really hard to do that. And still, you know, if you're somebody that still has to pay your mortgage or, you know, buy food for your kids and all of that sort of thing, like, trying to go really big out of the gates is actually really risky for you. Do you know what I mean? Because you need to go full time to, like, what these guys are doing with reaching 750,000 homes every month and all the different zones and things they're doing. Like, that's full time. Like, that's a full time business, right? That's not a side hustle business. And so you can't start there for most people, at least. You can't start there, and it just doesn't make sense. And even if some, like, I agree, like, a lot of people will come up with the thing like, oh, surely that's already too saturated and too many people are doing it. And Like, for this especially, this is definitely the sort of thing that it kind of doesn't matter how many people are doing it, because there are so many businesses out there that are looking to promote themselves, right? Like, where I live here, yeah, I mean, you know where my office is here and everything. It's in this industrial area. Like, the closest town here has like 10,000 people in it. There are literally hundreds of businesses in this industrial area. And there is no way they're all already on some sort of local advertising thing like what we're talking about here. They're probably doing some forms of local advertising, sure, but are they all on here? So, like, if you thought there were these sort of things existing in your area, it would be really cool to get a hold of them, see what's on those postcards, see what's in those magazines, if there's the magazine-style thing that Ben showed here, and look at where the gaps are. So what businesses don't they have on those things? What types of businesses don't? Maybe they don't have plumbers, or maybe they don't have dentists, or maybe they don't have something else. Find where the gaps are and just go and hit those gaps. And that's kind of like a no-brainer, right? And so, yeah, this is definitely not the sort of thing where you have to worry about competition. And even if there was too much competition in your local area, just go and do it somewhere that's not in your local area. Like, you could do the postcard thing almost anywhere, right? You know what I mean? Even if it's the next town over, or the next town that way, or the next town that way, or the next city that way, you know, it would be cool to do it in your local area first, sure, but do you have to? No, we're doing this on the internet, man. Like, you know, like using Rachel's model, she's messaging people on Facebook, you know, to get these business deals locked in and stuff like that. And so you don't need to be in the town to do that.
I think I'm super intrigued by the MN.coupons thing. I'm curious, if we have Rachel back on, we should talk to her about it. She's probably listening going, oh shit, I'm going to do that now too. I want to know if she's doing that, if she's not. And I'm trying to think, you know, around here in Western Wisconsin, right? My brother lives a little further away. I'm sure he'd want to do the postcard thing in his area, but I would imagine no matter the town you picked in the area, that town.coupons is available, or that towncoupons.com is available. Right. And so if you're going to do a little bit of postcards, but you could also do the digital side as a bonus, that would take you nothing, right? It would take you $20 a year to own that domain, and maybe $20 a year to host a card site where you just have one page with the coupons on it. Like, you don't really need anything on that site for it to be super beneficial to the people that you're selling the ad space to, right? So I'm intrigued by that one, actually.
Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
Kind of want to show you this too. This is a little off topic, but all right. So the back page of this thing too is this, it's called USA Inflatables. I'm intrigued by this as like a small business model. I know when I lived at my old house, the people across the street had a little party for one of their kids, and you know, a Chevy 1500 pulled up, pulling a trailer, and they unloaded a big inflatable, you know, slide and bouncy castle thing and blew it up. They came back 8 hours later and tore it down and put it back in their trailer. Probably cost, you know, $200-$400 for you to rent that bouncy castle for a couple hours. Obviously, you need to be able to transport this. You need to be able to set it up and be available on weekends. But I'm actually like really intrigued by that as a, like a starter business model for somebody, because you know, what does one of these cost? $1,000 max? Like, do you have a really, really nice one?
Yeah. So we're saying this, and I didn't see this outline before we started recording this on this part. So Ben probably either doesn't know this or doesn't remember. My first job when I was like 14 and a half was working for an inflatable ride company that did exactly what you're talking about. I did that from when I was 14 and a half till I was 18. So I used to rock up with the inflatable things, big inflatable sides, slides. You know, we used to do things like fairy floss and snow cones as well. The business was called Affordable Amusement Hire.
What is fairy floss?
You know, like a spun sugar stuff. I don't know what you call it over there. Google
cotton candy, maybe?
Cotton candy, yeah, cotton candy. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what you call cotton candy.
Fairy floss. I like that.
Yeah. So I used to do all of that stuff. I used to run these rides for people in their backyards, and we used to do like big, you know, like shows as well and fairs and things like that. But with larger ones. But yeah, I used to do this. Yeah, totally. This
you
is definitely
kind of the carny look, you know, honestly.
I was a carny. I was a carny. And look, it was a great job. They paid me an adult wage, you know, when I was 14. Like I'd go and do work on Saturday and Sunday, and I'd make more money than every kid that worked every day, every night at Macca's or something like that, right? It was great. I fucking loved it. I just had to stand there and yell at kids.
Well, it sounds like you were at a bigger thing, right? Was that like something traveling around to different towns or like in the same town? Or like, I'm trying to picture, you know, millennial moms are renting these things for sure for their backyard for kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, so that you would have both. Like we did bigger stuff where you would travel maybe hours. So this was in Sydney, in Australia. It was based on the outskirts of Sydney in a regional area. Like the business was based there. And so this business at the time I was working for, it did like bigger stuff and they did the smaller stuff. So there were definitely ones where we would take out like a small jumping castle to some kid's fifth birthday party in their backyard, set it up, blow it up, and then just leave it there. And that the parents would have to supervise it, you know. And I mean, this is back in the 90s as well, so safety standards were a bit laxer than they are these days also. And insurance was a lot cheaper, I'm sure. But like that was part of the business for sure. And then they also did like larger ones. So once again, talking about like going from postcards to magazines, you definitely could start, you know, you could buy yourself an inflatable ride and all of that sort of thing and hire it out to people. And then over time, if you were making money doing that, you could scale that up to larger things where you're going out to like, you know, school fairs or, you know, local carnivals or whatever with a larger ride and you're actually managing it and supervising it on the day and doing all of that sort of stuff. I mean, once again, there are definitely businesses that do that.
I mean, this looks cool. They've got a lot of stuff on this one, right? Larger, they've got a rock climbing wall. They got all sorts of stuff. But so I clicked on here and this kind of told you, you know, book online now to get two extra nights free. Like, why would you need the extra? Maybe it'd be cool after the party if your kids got to play for another day or something. But, you know, $500 to rent an 18-foot slide for the day, $450 for a 20-foot dolphin front entry water slide with pool, right? Your cost is minimal. I can't imagine these cost that much to buy the unit outright. And man, your return has to be pretty damn good here.
They probably cost a little bit more than you think for a good quality one. And we're talking about like, you know, you want a commercial grade PVC sort of stuff. Like you can definitely get real cheap ones. You can, right? For sure. Like you can get ones under $1,000, I'm sure, for the smaller ones. They ain't going to last a long time. So if these are going to be used like every weekend, you're probably looking, I mean, still not that much, honestly. Like, I mean, you're probably looking for smaller ones, you know, up to sort of $3,000. Then as you get much larger than that, the cost goes up quite a bit. And also with the complexity of the thing as well.
I mean, I can't find anything more. Maybe I'm not finding the right thing, but you know, you're talking $2,500 for what these are showing up for commercial grade. Honestly, that's not a bad price, right? You do five different parties and you've got your money back, right? Minus your transportation costs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good return on investment here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you need to have a vehicle. You need to have a trailer for the smaller ones. If you get into large ones, sometimes you need something a little bit more serious because big ones like the, you know, big slides and things like that, they're actually super heavy. So like you can't lift them up with your hands. In some cases, two people shouldn't even lift them. So you kind of need something. We used to use like a hoist out the back of a little truck and you would like hoist it up with like a, you know, one of those chain hoists and like put it into the back of the truck. But you know, that's on the larger scale ones for sure.
All right, John, in another life, in a different world, you and I teach literally a business model that kind of fits right here. You do all of the niche selection, if you will, when people come with ideas. I've certainly seen this a couple times. How often does this come across your desk of like, I want to have a bouncy house store?
Never.
I mean, some of these prices are, you know, these things are right in that zone. If you're $1.5 to $3,000, this is not bad.
I definitely know people who have wanted to sell inflatable things, but probably more so on the side of, and in fact, we sell some of these on one of our businesses, like inflatable water products. So there's like,
yep,
you know, tow behind boat type inflatable products and things like that, which is, once again, I mean, you probably have them on the same site, right? Like you could have an inflatable site, you know what I mean? Like bouncy houses, all of these sort of things, as well as the stuff that goes on water, You know what I mean? It kind of, I would assume some of the same manufacturers make them. It's the same material, essentially.
Talk about a seasonable business. Maybe in the South, they're buying these in the middle of winter, but I bet this is a very 4 or 5 month heavy business. And then you're sitting on your hands the rest of the year.
Yeah, right.
When we talk about, we should do one of these. This seems like the one where we could actually pull it off, because you and I could spin this up probably in a week and actually have it, you know, someone would need to answer the phones and take care of that stuff. But I think we could spin something like this up. But I've always been fascinated by that. And so to see this on the back page of this thing, they also got a front mark. They must be like the, you know, the presenting sponsor of this entire thing, right? Where they get called out. And so I don't know if I like it for this. This seems like a very scaled up version of what I'm talking about. But, you know, I think this could be a little more than a side hustle for a lot of people, given if they have a trailer, right? Because these things are pretty heavy, I assume.
Yep.
All right, totally different subject for the last thing that I found, but I'm on the Quiet Light email list. I assume you're on the Quiet Light email list. This one came across and caught my eye. It's interesting for a few different reasons. So let me share it with you. So right out of the gates, it says profitable YouTube channels, 89% seller discretionary urgent margins. I mean, 89% margins, 1.4 million subscribers, and the team runs daily operations. So I was reading through this. It's basically 9 channels spanning several entertainment commentary niches like paranormal, movie analysis, health, and animation. Again, 1.4 million followers and $972,000 in profit in the last 12 months. And they're asking 2.5 million for this. But what really stood out to me, John, was this last part. The seller, a CPA, built this portfolio while running his tax practice and is selling to focus on his growing family. That blew my mind that this guy runs his own CPA practice, which I assume is, you know, quite busy for certainly more in the January, February, March, April timeframe than the rest of the year, I would assume, when someone's a CPA. But you know, that's no joke to be running your own business and build this on the side and build something that's worth $2.5 million. That kind of blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously the numbers sound amazing there on the profitability side, as well as, you know, the numbers and the interaction with the channels and all of that sort of thing. Like, I always find, though, to go to that last paragraph about, like, I don't get this, right? So you've got a business that's generating nearly $1 million profit a year, and you're selling it. So that's cash flow. You're selling it, like pre-tax, obviously, and all that sort of stuff. But like, you're selling it to focus on his growing family. Like, a team manages it. So you're not on the videos either, I'm assuming. Like, these are all going to be faceless kind of whatever videos. Why would you sell it? I always love the reasons that they... I wonder if they make these things up sometimes. Like, that's not a reason to sell a hands-off business. Like, this dude is probably not making that much profit from his CPA business, if I'm honest. He's not making that profit margin on his CPA business, right? He's not pulling 90, 80-something percent profit out of a service-based business. So, like... Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. I'm not saying that's not a reason it's a good business or anything like that. I'm just like, and maybe this guy's family, like there's some special needs or there's something different going on there to the regular. But I know if I thought, like I got 4 kids, while I was having those 4 kids, if I was sitting on a business that was generating nearly $1 million a year in profit, I wouldn't have gone, oh man, I need to sell this so I can like sit with my kids, which I can probably do anyway. Like that doesn't ring true to me. But anyway, whatever. I shouldn't judge.
And he only spends 20 minutes a day working on this, as every single business owner who's ever sold on Quiet Light does. He only works 20 minutes a day. You know, he's making $1 million a year, spends 20 minutes a day. I think what really is the kicker for me is if you do the math, right, he sells for $2.5 million, probably spending, you know, $250,000 to Quiet Light, right, for being the broker here. And then 30% to the tax man, I would assume, out of all of that. So you end up with $1.5 million roughly. You were going to make $1 million next year and you're going to sell just to get $1.5 million now. Like that kind of blows me away, at least at this multiple. And so look, there's some risk here for sure. I'm sure when you're sitting here thinking about it, you're probably worried the algorithm's going to screw you over tomorrow or something. There's something more here. I wish I knew what the something more was. I didn't want to deposit and you know, learn too much about the business or go watch the video or anything. I just want, I clicked here. I saw this. I found it very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, $2.5 million for a business that's generating nearly $1 million a year in profit. I mean, it doesn't sound like enough to me. You know what I mean? But I get it because there's nothing behind it, right? There's no business behind this. The business is AdSense. Essentially, and I know it says it's starting to get some sponsorships coming through, which is obviously the obvious place you would want to take it, right? Because the numbers behind the channels are easily high enough to generate good interest from sponsors and things like that, right? For sure, depending on the niches and things like that. But like, I would assume that's not that difficult a thing to leverage a bit more, but there's no business behind it. Do you know what I mean? So to your point, like, yeah, I mean, if for some reason YouTube changed their algorithmic practices, maybe a lot of this is AI developed video or something, and they slap that or something like that. Obviously, the numbers could go backwards pretty quickly here. And it, of course, when the numbers go backwards quickly, so does the AdSense revenue. And if you've got nothing sitting behind that, you're not really monetized anymore. So I guess that's the risk, right? But, you know, if it holds up for a few years, then you're probably not unhappy about paying that for it.
Well, he's a CPA. Perhaps he's just hit his number. That's it, right? He's already made $1 million last year. He probably made a little bit less than $1 million the year before that. I don't know how long this has been running.
True.
And he's going to sell it and make another $1.5 million, maybe $2 million if he's a crafty CPA, right? And yeah, maybe he just hit his number and he's like, I'm good. I'm just going to put my money in T-bills and I'm going to go spend time with my family the rest of my life. Honestly, I'd love to know what the story is behind here, because this seems not too good to be true, but like, too good to give up, like you said, for $1 million to get, you know, 1.5 years of runway. You can't imagine it's going to break down in the next year and a half, especially if you got all the SOPs built, like you said. When someone leaves, an SOP has got somebody sped a new person up to speed within days. It sounds like you've got this really dialed in. You haven't even expanded to Facebook, which I've seen people make pretty good money on Facebook Reels at this point. Even Twitter's paying you quite well if you can get the watches on there. And so it seems like more opportunity than downside here. But at the same time, we're not sitting in this. We're not sitting here, you know, worrying about the algorithm every single day either. Maybe he's got a couple strikes.
And I don't think you can underestimate the fear of that. And we know that. I mean, we've spoken to many people over the years who are like finding success, and they're constantly like, oh, what if it all goes away tomorrow? You know, that fear, it's a very real fear amongst successful people or people that have built a business that's doing great numbers. They do worry about that. And I could see with this type of business where, once again, you're fairly reliant on the algorithms and all of that sort of thing to drive your business. Like, that fear would be pretty high. Like, I'm not going to lie, I would have it. I would definitely be feeling it. It would make me want to really work my ass off to build something behind this, for sure, but I would feel that fear. And so it might just be that, like you say, old mate's made enough money and he doesn't want to live with that fear any longer. He's just like, fuck this. I'll just take what I can get for it now because it looks good, because I don't have the confidence that it's going to be around in 3, 4, or 5 years or whatever. I mean, it's probably not around forever. Let's be real. You know, this isn't a 30-year e-commerce business or something. This is or a brand or something like that, unless you build a brand behind it somehow. So, yeah, I mean, I get it from that perspective for sure.
And you hear people say that about Amazon too, right? Like, I've heard the horror stories of getting shut down by Amazon. Yeah. I need to get out before the horror story happens to me. And I'm sure it's true everywhere, right? There's risk in every single business that you're in. Some of it you have more control than others. Certainly, like you said, there's no business behind here. There's no emails to capture. There's no extra things to sell them on the back end. It is simply attention. And maybe that's why it has a 2.57 multiple. Maybe that's all you get in a business like this, because you're so reliant on one channel and one overlord, if you will, of deciding whether this works or not. I don't know. I'd love that. I'd love to chat to this person too and just understand the inner workings.
I want to know how you put it together. That's what I like. I want to know the story behind the business. You know, once again, I mean, maybe this person knows something or knew something or had some insights or whatever, and it's not necessarily repeatable, but it does kind of sound like the sort of thing that maybe anyone could do. Right. And I'd love to know if that's actually true. You know, on the off chance you're listening to this and you know your YouTube channel's for sale on Quiet Light, reach out.
Well, our team will 100% reach out to John Hainstock, the advisor here over at Quiet Light. And John, hopefully you're watching this, buddy, pass it along. We'd love to have that person on. I'd love to understand how it works, how the business model works, how you built it on the side, what's going, you know, what's the head trash happening in your head where you're like, I got to get out now, or maybe not thinking that at all. I'd love to interview this person.
Absolutely.
All right, three things I want you to take away today. Rachel just does things. Be more like Rachel. Mike built and shipped a real product in 2 to 3 weeks. Whether it works or not, he's already winning the only race that matters, and that's the one against your own indecision. And a CPA built a $1 million YouTube empire on the side. You don't have to quit your job to build something real.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.